Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup.
I will be emphasizing in front of the United Nations the urgency of the withdrawal of all foreign forces from Lebanon.
Lebanon's new president, Amin Gemayel, is now in New York. And today, as we hear from Richard C. Hodulett, he appears at the United Nations, mainly to assert the revival of Lebanon as an independent state.
For years, Lebanon has been a battleground and punching bag for Syria, Israel, and others, its sovereignty hollowed out by the massive military presence of the PLO. This morning, Gemayel will thank the General Assembly for the humanitarian aid the UN family is giving. This afternoon, he'll ask the Security Council to extend the presence of UNIFIL, the roughly 7,000-man peacekeeping force in southern Lebanon, whose job is to help the Lebanese government reestablish its authority. The United States supports this fully, although Israel wants a private security arrangement with Lebanon and no foreign troops around. Ironically, Gemayel comes to ask the UN's backing as some radical states like Libya and Iraq are promoting a scheme to exclude Israel from the General Assembly by rejecting its credentials. The United States says it will walk out of the Assembly if that happens, and Israel might well stop cooperating with UNIFIL and the other UN agencies on which Lebanon is counting. Richard C. Hoddle at CBS News.
The UN International Telecommunications Union is due to vote today on an Arab-sponsored resolution expelling Israel from that body because of its invasion of Lebanon. If the resolution passes at the meeting in Nairobi, the United States declares it will walk out of the ITU. Britain, France, West Germany, and other common market countries say they'll do the same thing. President Gemayel is due in Washington late today, and we'll hear about that from Nelson Benton.
There's a ceremonial meeting first with Secretary of State Schultz. Then, talks on troop withdrawal and U.S. aid to Lebanon tomorrow with President Reagan and his advisors, a meeting with Defense Secretary Weinberger tomorrow also. The United States has been sending Lebanon aid throughout its most recent crisis, $15 million emergency aid during the past 5 months. Administration officials are not saying just how much the United States will invest in Lebanon's reconstruction. One senior administration official says, "We're going to try to accommodate them, but we're still kicking around the figure." A Defense Department survey team, officials say, has recently returned from examining Lebanon's military needs, some of which are likely to be met in the form of training assistance for its army. Other aid, according to officials, will include loan guarantees as well as direct financial help. Nelson Benton, CBS News, the State Department.
This is Mark Phillips in Beirut. The country President Gemayel has left behind for 4 days is still torn by its old internal divisions and still torn apart physically as well. Even repairing its basic infrastructure will cost hundreds of millions of dollars. No one knows the exact price. Some work in clearing the rubble in the refugee camps has begun, but there are still as many as 60,000 people without shelter there, and the winter rains are approaching. The end of the major fighting in Lebanon has been like a sunset after 8 years of war. The agreements, if any, and the aid Amin Gemayel secures on this trip will influence whether the sun rises on Lebanon again. Mark Phillips, CBS News, Beirut.
The Israeli parliament opened its winter session today, and Prime Minister Menachem Begin is scheduled to make a wide-ranging policy speech. The work week has begun in Poland with no immediate response to the call by underground solidarity leaders for a new series of strikes. Bert Quint reports from Warsaw.
One place they had hoped to organize at least an absentee strike rather than the riskier laying down of tools was the big steel mill in Warsaw. But first shift workers appeared to be reporting to duty as usual. In Gdansk, union activists have delayed, but not given up, on hopes of organizing a new sit-in strike like the one that the regime broke last week by threatening to court-martial and jail striking workers. Leaflets are circulating in the Krakow suburb of Nowa Huta, calling for a strike at the nation's number one place of employment, the steel mill there. Over the weekend, a spokesman for the regime and the leader of the Roman Catholic Church spoke of the new labor law. In an interview, Wiesław Gornicki, an advisor to martial law chief Jaruzelski, acknowledged that many workers are reluctant to join the new unions that are to be established to replace the outlawed Solidarity. But he said those unions will not be mere tools of the regime like Solidarity's predecessors.
Poland cannot, does not wish, and cannot return to situation prior to August 1980.
Archbishop Glemp, primate of Poland, charged in a sermon that the regime had crushed Poland's hopes of national reconciliation by banning solidarity without consulting workers. Bert Quinn, CBS News, Warsaw.
The 1982 Nobel Prize for Physics was awarded this morning to Professor Kenneth Wilson of Cornell University. He was cited for, quote, his theory of critical phenomena in connection with phase transitions, or to put it another way, his studies of how matter changes under different conditions. The chemistry prize went to Aaron Krug of Britain for studies of electronics and other matters. Former First Lady Bess Truman died this morning on arrival at Research Medical Center in Kansas City. Congestive heart failure was the immediate cause of death. The widow of President Harry Truman was 97 years old. Deborah Potter takes a retrospective look.
Bess Truman kept a low profile during her husband's years in the limelight. She appeared to be the traditional model of wife and mother. But Harry Truman said she was his closest advisor, that he consulted her on every major decision he ever made, and he called her the boss. They met in her hometown of Independence, Missouri, graduated in the same high school class in 1901. But it took Harry years to propose. They were married in 1919. After he left the White House, they returned to Independence, and 2 years later, in 1955, Bess Truman talked about coming home with her daughter Margaret on the CBS News broadcast Person to Person.
Oh, yes, I miss Washington. I miss Washington a lot. I love it there. But I'm completely happy at home. And of course, the Secret Service men didn't bother me as much as they did you and Dad.
Well, if I remember, you lost them.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Early in the game.
Mm-hmm. Bess Truman lived longer than any other First Lady. She once said the only requirements for the job were good health and a sense of humor. Deborah Potter, CBS News.
Chrysler Corporation has just told the auto workers at their contract talks in Michigan that there is simply no more money, and the company cannot offer the rank and file a pay raise over and above those already negotiated, which the union membership rejected last week. Rob Marr of station WWJ reports that at a news conference this morning, Chrysler Vice President Thomas Miner said Chrysler will take a strike if necessary, although it would severely cripple the company. The union has scheduled a news conference at this hour. The New York Times reports that for the first time, officials of the Social Security system are planning to let the Old Age Trust Fund borrow money. 2 or 3 days after Election Day next month, according to the Times, $1 billion to $2 billion will be borrowed from Social Security's disability benefits or health insurance funds. France's former Prime Minister Pierre Mendès France died this morning in Paris at the age of 75. We'll hear about him from Joan Shore.
At 21, he was admitted to the French bar, the youngest lawyer in the country. He entered government 4 years later in 1932, winning a seat in the French Chamber of Deputies as a radical socialist. During World War II, he escaped to Morocco with his wife and two sons, and eventually made his way to London, where he joined General Charles de Gaulle's Free French Forces as a bomber navigator. He never joined de Gaulle's staff and was a constant critic during de Gaulle's later presidency. Mendès France's greatest achievement was in 1954, when, serving briefly as prime minister, he ended France's 8-year war in Indochina. He negotiated a settlement that split Vietnam into two nations, North and South. Mendès France admired Franklin D. Roosevelt and copied some of his habits, such as giving weekly radio fireside chats. But as a Frenchman, he was disliked by his fellow countrymen for his anti-alcohol campaigns and his preference for milk over wine. Joan Shore, CBS News, Paris.
An anti-draft demonstration took place today outside Selective Service headquarters in Washington. More than 50 people were arrested for crossing police lines and were fined $50 apiece. The Milwaukee Brewers defeated the St. Louis Cardinals yesterday in Milwaukee 6-4, and they now lead the Cards 3-2 in the World Series. The sixth game will be played tomorrow in St. Louis. The dollar declined somewhat overseas today, and so did gold prices. The price was fixed in London at $426.50 an ounce, down 7 from Friday.
Syrian forces have fired Sagar anti-tank missiles at Israeli positions in Lebanon's Bekaa Valley, keeping the front in eastern Lebanon tense. But an Israeli army spokesman says Israel will find no problems dealing with the Soviet-made Sagars, which were one of the most effective weapons used by Egypt in the 1973 war. More than 20,000 Syrian forces are in Lebanon, concentrated in the Bekaa Valley, and Israel wants them out. Most of the exchanges between the Israeli and Syrians have been near Lake Harun in eastern Lebanon. Gerald Mavla, Tel Aviv.
Newsbreak, Charles Osgood, CBS News. The word lady is out of favor in some circles now, but Bess Truman died this morning. The widow of President Harry S. Truman was 97 years old, and there was a lady, and no other word will do. Her story in just a moment.
I'm a tool distributor, but my company was growing so fast it was coming unhinged. When I was supposed to ship 50 hammers, I shipped 500. And I always sent the wrong saws. Instead of shipping hatchets, I sent ratchets. It was driving me nuts. Then I heard that IBM made small computer systems for small businesses like mine. So I bought an IBM small computer for my shipping department, and now I know what tools to ship, how many tools to ship, and when to ship them. Best of all, I can use that same IBM small computer for my new business. Ouch! Hospital supplies.
For more information, call IBM toll-free at 1-800-631-5582. That's 1-800-631-5582.
They say she could whistle through her teeth. Imagine that. Miss Wallace had three brothers, and she was the only girl in the family, and if there was any other girl in Independence, Missouri, who could whistle through her teeth the way Bess Wallace could, nobody thought to make mention of it. The Wallaces were prominent, and Bess's mother was a Gates. That's the Gates of Gates Milling and Lumber Enterprises. The house Bess grew up in at 219 North Delaware Street was always known as Gates Mansion. Later it would be called the Summer White House or some such. But let's not get ahead of ourselves here. The key meeting of Bess Wallace's life occurred when she was 5 years old. That would be 1890. It was in Sunday school there in Independence that the blue-eyed little girl met an older man. Harry S. Truman was then 6 years old, and it was the most important meeting of his life, too. He said so more than once. Later on, after he'd met the most powerful and influential people on the face of this earth, Harry Truman would say that Bess was without a doubt the most important and influential person in his life. I never made a speech, he once said, without going over it with her. The boss. That's what Harry Truman called her. And he swore that he fell in love with her right away when she was 5 and he was 6, and there was never anybody else for either one of them. And knowing Harry Truman, it seems right that he could not resist a girl who could whistle through her teeth and who loved baseball and whose idea of a good time was going fishing. They were married when he was 34 and she was 33. Would have been married before that, but World War I came along, and Truman didn't want to take the chance of being wounded, maybe permanently disabled in the war, and having Bess stuck with him after that. So they waited. They had one daughter, Margaret. Bess Truman didn't especially want Harry to run for the Senate, but when he did and when he won, she gathered her daughter and her widowed mother and the family belongings and left for Washington by train. There, the Trumans lived in a 5-room apartment, and Bess served as her husband's secretary and kept house and did the cooking. When Harry was named Franklin Roosevelt's running mate in 1944, Bess wasn't happy about that, but she accepted it with grace. And then in 1945, when Roosevelt died, the Trumans moved into the White House, there to stay until 1953, when the Eisenhowers moved in. I never made a major decision she wasn't in on, Harry Truman later said, which means that she was in on some of the most momentous decisions anybody ever had to make. She was in on those awful decisions that had to be made at the end of World War II and afterwards. Not that she spoke out publicly, you understand. Here in our CBS News library this morning, I could find lots of recordings of the voices of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mamie Eisenhower and Jackie Kennedy and Lady Bird Johnson and Pat Nixon and Betty Ford and Rosalind Carter and Nancy Reagan. But there was hardly a word from the White House days of Bess Truman. That was how she played it. She didn't love Washington, the pomp and circumstance. She liked it better afterwards when they retired to Independence. But whatever Harry Truman was, Bess Truman was part of it. And if he was great, then she was too. If someday you go to the Truman Library and go out into the garden where the two of them will lie, this is the inscription you will read on her tomb. And when you do, perhaps you will think of a blue-eyed girl who could whistle through her teeth. It says simply, Bess Wallace Truman, First Lady, the United States of America. Now this.
We're Rita!
I'm Rita from Mita.
Well, I'm the Mita man.
And this is the Mita DC-121 plain paper copier.
Now, Rita, that's my job.
The DC-121 fits most anywhere.
I'll do that, Rita.
And you get first copies in 5.5 seconds.
Rita, please.
But the best feature of this copier is its small price.
No small reason for buying the DC-121.
Mita! Full service copiers.
For more information, call your Mita dealer. We're in the Yellow Pages.
News break. Charles Osgood, CBS News.
CBS News, I'm Richard C. Hottolent.
I call for the immediate and unconditional withdrawal of all non-Lebanese forces from Lebanon.
That was President Amin Gemayel of Lebanon addressing the United Nations General Assembly in an emotional call for peace and an appeal to the world community to help Lebanon regain its full independence and rebuild its economy. We have started the reconstruction process, he said, with our free enterprise system playing the leading part, clearing the cities of rubble, rebuilding everywhere, and, Gemayel added, rebuilding the army to assume responsibility for the freedom of the homeland. But he warned that there is much to do.
The situation in Lebanon and in the Middle East is still fragile. Only concerted effort on your part will reinforce the forces of peace in our part of the world. We now have an opportunity to arrest the cycle of war and chaos. Let us seize it. Peace in Lebanon is obviously a precondition to peace in the Middle East, and no peace in the Middle East without peace in Lebanon.
Gemayel expressed the hope that the Palestinians would have freedom and self-determination in their land of Palestine, adding, I hope the Palestinians and Israel will reach a settlement allowing them to enjoy the fullness of their rights, unquote. In Jerusalem, Prime Minister Menachem Begin opened the winter session of the Israeli Knesset with a broad policy statement. He said Israeli troops will leave Lebanon, but only when the safety of Israel's northern Galilee region is assured. He said the prospect of a peace treaty with Lebanon had to be postponed. As for the occupied territory of the West Bank and Gaza, Begin rejected the idea of a Palestinian state there or a Palestinian-Jordanian federation, saying the territory must remain forever under Israeli rule. Now this.
This fall, before you clean up the outside of your home and seal up the inside, pick up True Value Hardware Store's Fall Shopper Circular for values on the tools and accessories you need to prepare for the cold months ahead. Hi, Pat Summerall to say you'll find rakes, lawn carts, and trash bags for end-of-season yard work. Indoors, improve heating efficiency by sealing holes and cracks around your home with True Value Hardware Store's selection of quality sealants, caulks, and weather stripping. You'll also find that making a relatively small investment in a portable heater will allow you to turn your thermostat down this winter without sacrificing warmth and comfort. And you can choose from a selection of fan-forced and quartz heaters, all featured in the Fall Shopper Circular from participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers, where you'll find values in every department.
True Value Hardware, it's more than just a name. It's our way of doing business. That means
former First Lady Bess Truman died of congestive heart failure this morning. She was 97. Dr. Wallace Graham, who had been her personal physician for almost 40 years, recalled that although Mrs. Truman was well known for her sense of privacy and dignity, she did care very much about people.
She was kind. She was very, very soft-hearted. Sometimes it was hard to see through that, maybe, because she was direct. But, and she had a very fine sense of humor. Should I say she was a good sportsman? And that carries a lot.
In a statement of sympathy to the Truman family, President Reagan this morning called Bess Truman a gracious, unassuming first lady who embodied the basic decency of America. American professor Kenneth Wilson of Cornell University has won the 1982 Nobel Physics Prize. Dr. Wilson won the award for his theories regarding changes in matter. The chemistry prize went to Dr. Aaron Klug of Cambridge University. Stocks and other news after this.
Hello, Steve Allen.
And Jane Meadows.
For your nearby Pip Instant Printer. When you want quality instant printing in a hurry, see the professionals who print at PIP.
Steve, there's no question in my mind. Pip printers offer their customers a great printing value.
Why, Jane?
Pip printers do real ink-on-paper printing. They use today's most modern equipment. They print quality copies every time while you wait.
And that is why Pip is the world's largest chain of instant printers.
P.I.P., where people make the difference.
The Bell System presents Mr. Roger Miller.
You don't need reason. Call someone. You don't need a reason. Bend an ear. So don't sit by your lonesome talking to yourself. A friendly voice like chicken soup is so good for your health. Whoa. Reach out and touch someone. Reach out, call up and just say, bop, 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 and reach out and touch some.
Contract talks between Chrysler and the United Auto Workers Union broke off this morning. The union wants more money. Chrysler says there simply is no more money. Negotiations between Chrysler and the UAW had resumed briefly last Friday. UAW President Douglas Fraser says a decision on what to do next will be made on Thursday. There's a definite possibility of a strike. The Dow Jones Industrial Average went back through 1,000 this morning. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 920. Volume on the big board, just over 33 million shares. The Dow Jones Industrials, 1,002.30. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.